This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey there, cat lovers. Welcome to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Prim. I am a small animal veterinarian and crazy cat person. So I have been excited about this new series that we have started called Why Does My Cat Do That? And so we're focusing on different behaviors that cats do that we may not really understand what they're doing or why they're doing it. Today, I have Mikkel Becker with me. She is the lead trainer at Fear Free Pets, which most of my listeners know is something that is very close to my heart since I was the nation's first Fear Free certified professional, and that's kind of how I got to know Mikkel. So we're going to talk with her about some of the negative behaviors that cats do, and we'll kind of pick her brain about why they do it and maybe what we can do about it. So we'll be right back.
Kitty Poo Club reinvented the litter box. No more scrubbing that stinky plastic tray. Or worrying, oh my God, do my guests smell that? No cleaning, no scrubbing, no more stink. You are going to love it. Your cats are going to love it. Go to kittypooclub.com, and when you order, save 30% on your first auto ship. Visit kittypooclub.com, use code MEOW30 at checkout, and join the club, the Kitty Poo Club.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. Today I have Mikkel Becker with me. Hi, Mikkel.
Hi, Dr. Cat. So good to be here with you.
I am really excited about this series. It's already been really fun, and I think that it is a super way to educate cat lovers about their cats and why they're doing what they're doing. So today I wanted to talk with you a little bit about some of the behaviors that we sort of associate as negative. So let's just start with one that we would all definitely think is negative. Why does my cat bite me?
Well, in the background, please excuse Nova's squeaky toy. That's my our 65-pound rescue. She loves to play, so she's in a frisky, playful mood. So if you hear that, that's what it is. So there are a lot of different reasons why cats may bite. And one of the most common reasons is sometimes they get overstimulated when they're being pet. So especially when they're being pet in places like their back or their tail, it can be really overly arousing for them. And so for that reason, one of the best things we can do is pet our cats in areas where they like to be pet and pet only for short periods of time. For us, we may want a whole cuddle session that lasts a few minutes, but for a cat, 10 seconds to 30 seconds is plenty. And a lot of times they actually prefer to be pet on the top of their head, under their chin, or on their neck. So avoiding any of those areas below the neck is really the best way to go forward with that, especially if you have a cat who is prone to ever biting or grabbing your hand when they're being pet. And then another way too that cats may bite is sometimes during play. Sometimes, and it may not be play for us, but for them it can be play. So they'll do things like an ambush play where they bite at your hands or your feet. So one of the best things you can do is to always direct your play towards toys and to have structured time that you play with your cat. So while we may not take all of our cats out on walks, there are those few that do go, a lot of them don't. And so we need to offer them some great forms of exercise. And one of the best ways we can do that is through these mock hunts that we can have in our home. And we can do that by adding little foraging spots for them to find little pieces of their food. Or even better yet, is that interactive play. So that's our way of almost like walking the cat and getting them the exercise is just encouraging them through that play, through that interactive play, and then ending that session with a treat. That can be really helpful because it also ends that whole hunting session. So if we just leave play as it is without any closure, a lot of times that cat is still in that hunt mode. So having some closure to that play can really help to end that session. And they can look forward to the next one, which if we have it structured, we can have that positive predictability throughout their days. They have that to look forward to next.
Okay, so I'm going to give you some questions that I get in my office. And sometimes I don't know the answers, but I bet you will. So is there a difference in the way your cat
bites you that tells you clues about why. Like maybe I have clients tell me all the time, oh, well, she doesn't bite hard. And then I have other clients say, it really hurt. Can you give us some information about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So cats, just like dogs, they can learn bite inhibition. So they have a certain amount that they will bite down. And a lot of times they do just want to give a little warning, just like they would do to other cats. So they, most of the time, they aren't wanting to inflict harm. They don't need to inflict harm. They're just trying to give you a warning. So you'll actually see that a lot in petting, for instance, where a person is petting and the cat may turn, they may put their mouth over the person's hand, but then not actually bite down. So, but that's still a good warning for them to be like, hey, I'm not comfortable with that. Like, please stop. So it's really important that we do honor that, because if we don't, sometimes that can escalate. And in some situations, you may see cats that do something almost like a vampire kind of sucking or a little bit of nibbling. And sometimes that can be more of like a nurturing gesture or like some kind of comforting the kind of tactic for the cat to comfort themselves. So those cats will sometimes jump up and they may do that on a person's neck, for instance, where, and for them, it's associated with like relaxed body language. So always looking at the body language. Some cats, especially if they are weaned early, and sometimes if they are under stress, they may do that behavior. So it's really dependent upon the cat. So definitely trying to pay attention to what our cats really actually needing in that moment. And most of the time it may be space, or it may be our cat's way of saying, hey, I need some play. I need some way to release this pent up energy. So giving them some jobs to do and keeping them employed is really important.
So do you think that the outcome of something like that depends on the owner's reaction? Like if the owner is extremely confrontational and says, don't you dare bite mm-hmm. me. Do you think that could accelerate it the wrong way?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. So especially if there's any underlying anxiety already associated with it, absolutely, it can go the other way. And for cats, as it is with dogs and all creatures, the best way that we can teach them is through positive reinforcement. And that reduces that conflict that they have in that relationship and increases that positive predictability and that trust. And that's really key. And also being able to pay attention to our cat's warnings. So when they are warning us or they are showing things that they're upset, like for instance, some cats may do a low growl or they may try and move away, but then they're forced in these situations like being held or having nails done in a way that they aren't comfortable with. And that's when the cat may escalate into a bite. So paying attention to those little warning signs early on is really going to keep you successful and help to prevent those bites.
So I know the body language warning signs, but my listeners might not. Can you sort of talk about what your cat might look like before a biting incident?
Absolutely. So you may see things like the cat looking away, they're looking for an exit, or they may actually look at your hand, for instance, before they bite. So that's one thing. If you're petting your cat and all of a sudden they look over at your arm or your hand, that may be one of their more subtle warnings, but it's a pretty clear warning once you see it. Other things that you might see are their ears starting to turn backwards or doing like airplane ears out to the side, almost like airplane wings, and their tail starting to twitch, or especially if it's ever thrashing. Those are some really big warning signs right there. And sometimes also skin rippling. So when you're petting the cat, for instance, if their skin starts to ripple, that's another sign that they're getting overly aroused and it's too much for them.
And so if you see those things, the most respectful thing to do for your cat is to just stop doing that and redirect it, right? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yes. Paying attention to those really subtle signs early on. And for you, it may depend upon your cat. So sometimes even paying attention to their whiskers. So sometimes when they're getting more stressed, their whiskers may puff out or they may like contract more and press more towards their face. So really pay attention to those little things or looking at their eyes too. So sometimes when they're getting upset, their eyes may look a little bit darker because their pupils are dilating. And even though those are subtle signs for a cat, they're really big signs that we really need to pay attention to.
So do you think that biting is like the height of, I don't know really how to word this. I know when I was working with horses, biting was like kind of the last step for a horse. Mm-hmm. Is it that way for a cat as well?
Absolutely. Yes. Cats definitely, they want to warn. They don't want to harm or to be harmed. And so it's really, you know, it's almost like with people where we can speak a warning to someone or we can say it in just a gentle, quiet way. But if it's not listened to, sometimes we may escalate and we may start to say it louder or more forcefully. And then eventually we may go into a yell. So it's the same way with cats. They don't want to have to escalate, but sometimes they learn that's the only way to get people to listen. And so if we can listen to those subtle signs, they learn that those are all the more effective to get people to back away, to give them the space that they need, and they don't need to escalate to that higher level. So that's one thing. Like, there was a cat in the shelter, for instance, I was working with, who was notorious for biting when people would pet him. And we were looking, of course, at any underlying health issues, because that can be a big thing. So if the cat's in pain or they're feeling sick, sometimes they may, you know, they'll be more on edge, more grumpy, and it also can be painful. So scouting for that, but also teaching the cat that petting means good things happen. So we would actually use a cue at the cat. So we'd say pet, and we just pet in an area the cat was comfortable with and associate that with treats. And then pretty soon it became not such a big deal. And the cat went from growling and being really upset when hands came reaching towards him to like, oh, cool, this is just that fun game. And so it became not such a big deal. And in some situations, training definitely can be super helpful with that, especially for that cat. I think that there probably had been a lot of conflict in his past where hands reaching maybe also meant kind of swatting or pushing him off of a table if he was jumping up. So, you know, paying attention to what hands reaching to a cat really means, and also helping them to feel safe. So in situations, especially with young children, we want to ensure that the cat always has a safe retreat space where they can go to be alone. And that if they don't want to be pet or they don't want to be held, that we really listen to that and respect that, so we don't force them to escalate to that higher level and that really that last resort for them, which is that bite.
Well, I definitely utilize that technique in my office, because I don't push a cat that's giving me a signal that it's had too much. And so it's certainly improved safety in my practice. So what about scratching or swatting? You mentioned swatting. Could we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So very, very similar to biting. A lot of cats will use that before they go into the full bite, but it really is, again, it's something that the cat doesn't necessarily want to ever use or have to use. Sometimes you'll see that in play, and cats can become very careful with their paws. So for instance, my mom's dog, her little Pomeranian and her cat play. And when Callie plays with her, you can see her claws are retracted. So she's just using her paws. So that's just a form of fun for her. But cats are very, very tactile. They like to use their mouth. They especially love to use their paws. And so definitely looking at similarly, why is the cat scratching, or why are they putting their paws in you? And a lot of times people are trying to do like wrestle play with their cat, or playing with their hands to get the cat to follow their hands or their fingers moving. And so if the cat, especially when they're kittens, it can be really cute doing this with a kitten, but then that grown cat learns, or once that kitten grows up into a grown cat, he learns, hey, you know, that's how I interact with people and this is how we do it. And so cats can sometimes actually be encouraged to be a little bit rough with their claws on skin. So we definitely want to encourage all play towards toys is very wise. Because it definitely can escalate. And then also figuring out, why is your cat using their claws? And a lot of times it's either a warning, or it may be some type of play in their mind. So it's some type of predatory sequence. So sometimes you'll see that where like pouncing on your legs, for instance, in bed, or if you're walking past, things like that. So trying to figure out, you know, why is the cat doing this, and what can we redirect it towards instead? So maybe we can redirect it towards play. So having those structured play times and having those toys sort of around the home too, so that way we can toss out that little ball toy, for instance, in that area where the cat may typically go to towards stocking feet when you walk by. Let's go ahead and turn their attention towards something else instead, so we give them an alternative point of focus.
Okay, so you mentioned attacking feet. And so I always think, I wonder maybe, if the cat knows that those are my feet, or do they just think that it's fun? I mean, it's something that's moving. I mean, do you think a cat can grasp that we are as big as we are?
You know, that is such a concept. And I don't think there's any way fully of knowing. I do think cats are very, very astute, though. And so I think that there probably is that recognition that it is something to do with us. But especially when we're wearing something like big fuzzy slippers, for instance, I know my mom had some on recently. And her cat and dog were both super interested. I don't know that they connected that necessarily to my mom, especially because it almost looked like a toy not held in her hand, but held by her feet. So I think that can be totally different. And it definitely does depend on the cat. And then maybe if they only see part of you, like such as feet moving past, then, you know, that could be what they're after. Cats are so big on movement. So they love movement, things that are moving away. And so anything that they kind of pounce at, you know, it's fun for them. So it's just a form of play for sure. So I think it's important to know that in almost all cases, cats aren't being, and actually I would say all cases really, cats aren't trying to be malicious or mean. It's just that they are either, sometimes they may be fearful and they may be conflicted and upset, or a lot of times it is that type of predatory play that they're expressing.
You know, I write about in my book, my cat Merlin that I had when I was in vet school, he used to lay under the couch. And it was one of those couches that had like covers where we couldn't see him when he was under the couch. And when my roommate would go toward the bathroom, he would see her and he would run out and grab her feet and she would squeal. And he thought that was delightful. And that was like the biggest reward for him was that she would squeal. And it was just a game that they played.
Exactly. That is so true. And it's so much of it depends on the person's reaction, because if they respond back and like you said, like that squeal, so right there, they're sounding like a prey right there. And so sometimes it may be like, you know, pulling our hand away or doing something with the cat. So a lot of times we're inadvertently reinforcing that behavior. So one of the best things that you can do is to actually kind of stand still like a statue. And if you are teaching a new kitten, for instance, like how to play more kindly with hands and with feet, sometimes like having like taller boots on or even having like gardening gloves and a longer sleeve shirt, that can be helpful during that training. So that way you can stand like a statue or freeze in place, because if you freeze in place, you take away that fun because the movement stops. So that can definitely help you to feel more comfortable freezing in place and for it to not be so painful, especially when there are those sharp little claws that can really hurt sometimes when they dig in.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
Kitty Poo Club reinvented the litter box. No more scrubbing that stinky plastic tray or worrying, oh my God, do my guests smell that? Kitty Poo Club has solved the stink. And now the worst part of cat ownership is hassle-free. No cleaning, no scrubbing, no more stink. And the best thing is you don't have to buy some oversized contraption that will break down. Kitty Poo Club litter boxes are manufactured to make your life easier. You have one cat? Easy peasy. A small mountain lion? No problem. You are going to love it. Your cats are going to love it. Believe me, there are good reasons why we sold over 3 million boxes. Go to kittypooclub.com, read the amazing reviews, and when you order, save 30% on your first auto ship. Visit kittypooclub.com. Use code MEOW30 at checkout and join the club, the Kitty Poo Club.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 9 Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. Okay, so there are some other behaviors that are not necessarily physical. What about howling and yowling? What about the sounds that cats make?
Yes, definitely. So there are so many different reasons why cats vocalize. And one thing I think is cool is like a meow, for instance, that's more like a cat's way of how they would interact with their mother, for instance. So their kittens would meow to the mom, and then cats as adults are prone to doing this with their people. So there's almost like that parent-child relationship, which is really neat. And there have been some studies that have looked at things like cats that meow prior to mealtime, for instance. Sometimes that can show that the cat is actually extremely bonded to that person when they'll meow at them to kind of tell them what they want. And cats are very good at this too, because they meow at a frequency and in a way that's almost similar to a baby's cry. So it's really hard to ignore. So, and meowing is done too, because it works. So just like the cat that you had with your roommate that would pounce at the legs and then get that scream, well, cats will meow for different reasons, including to get attention and especially to get things like their food. So one thing we do always want to look at is there's a change in vocalization. And so say that the cat is, like you mentioned, yowling. So if they're yowling or making these strange noises like at night, or and there are other things like maybe they're a little bit more restless, there may be some other things going on. So sometimes some underlying medical issues. So like hyperthyroidism, for instance, may be something that you can talk to your pet's vet about, and just to see if there's any underlying issue that could be causing this. And then also it could be things too, like the cat is communicating with whatever is outside. So there may be little critters or other neighborhood cats perhaps that are free roaming that a cat is communicating with, and they can be communicating with us as well as other household members, which could include other pets, other cats.
Well, I think that is very helpful, and excellent shout out to veterinarians, because if your cat is yowling when it's in the litter box, that is extremely important that you let your veterinarian know that, because that could be an emergency situation. And absolutely. Speaking of litter boxes, what about inappropriate elimination that cats might do? That would be a negative behavior, I would say.
Yes, absolutely. And really one of the top reasons why, unfortunately, so many cats are surrendered is due to urination, defecation outside of the litter box. And for me, it's one of my passion projects that I definitely am super passionate about addressing, because in so many cases, we can turn this around. And you already mentioned one of the ways is talking to your pet's vet. A lot of times there are underlying medical issues that are at play, and it can be even something. So maybe it's not a urinary tract infection or something more common that you might think of. It could even be something such as pain. So sometimes cats may associate getting in the litter box or having to crouch down with the association of pain. And so they may avoid that. And especially as they get older, a lot of cats are going to have a lot more stress in their joints, and they're going to have a lot more issues with osteoarthritis, for instance. So definitely talking to your pet's vet to scan for any issues that are going on. But other things that really are at play is most cats do not have an optimal litter box setup. So ideally, what we want to have is we want to have one litter box for every floor of the home. And then we also want to have one or two litter boxes for one cat, and then an additional litter box for every cat thereafter. So essentially, if you have, so the one cat, you'd have two litter boxes. If you have two cats, you're going to have three litter boxes, three cats, four litter boxes, and so on. And when we're talking about litter boxes too, these aren't all in one spot. So they are put in different areas. So that way it's separate and it's distinct for the cat, because if they all are put together in the same place, that really counts as one litter box. And it's important to have them in different areas, because sometimes the cat may have a threat out there. So maybe they don't want to go out where the guest is, or maybe the dryer is on and that's scary for the cat. Or sometimes cats can definitely guard some of their resources. So there may be some competition over resources with other cats in the home. So we want to ensure that we have litter boxes available in all these different areas, so it's really easy for our cat to access. And then also that it feels good on their feet. So really figure out what your cat likes. So both scent-wise, a lot of cats are going to prefer non-scented, but it really depends upon your cat. And then also something that does feel gentle on their feet. Some of like the crystal-like litters, for instance, can be really kind of sharp and kind of feel ouchy for their feet, whereas a more fine sand can actually be a lot more comfortable for them. And we want something that's deep enough so that way they can bury after they go. And most cats will also want to urinate and defecate in separate boxes. So allowing that to happen is super important. And if we ever do catch our cat going in an area that we don't want them to go in, definitely avoid punishment, because punishment just really escalates that underlying anxiety that actually contributes to inappropriate elimination in the first place. So a lot of times these cats may be incredibly stressed. So stress really does play a role in all this. So with that, we really want to eliminate any stress that our cat has. So in ways like if we do catch our cat having an accident, we can just put them in another area, and we can use an enzymatic cleaner in that area to really clean it up. And we can always also use black lights, because sometimes we may not see these places where our cat is going or where they've marked. And so that can be really helpful too. But then also doing things to help reduce that stress, which can include having more positive predictability during their day and having more routine. So the more routine that you can have with your cat, oftentimes the better. And doing also, in addition to the routine, also adding in some enrichment. So some fun things that happen during their life. So for instance, rather than feeding just directly out of a food bowl, we can do things like perhaps feeding parts of their meals or treats in food puzzles, or putting them in different areas of the home, like up on their perches or their cat trees for them to discover. And having some vertical areas where your cat can explore is really helpful too. So and that can also help to address some of those situations like cats jumping up on counters. Cats jump up on counters because they love that vertical surface. It can help them feel safe and comfortable and to get away from potential threats. And then also, cats just love that vertical space. It adds so much more surface room into their life. So it takes the square footage of a home and increases it in sometimes by many multiples when we can have those vertical surfaces for them to explore. So adding in all of those things on top of addressing the litter box issue and reinforcing them when they do go potty in the right area or they do eliminate there. So if we do catch them doing that in a great way, once they're finished, we can actually have a treat. So give them a treat afterwards. So cats, just like dogs and other critters, they love positive reinforcement. So the more that we can reinforce that behavior, the more likely they are to do it in the future.
Positive reinforcement. I love it. I love it. Well, I could talk to you all day. because there are so many things that I would love to talk with you about. You'll definitely have to come back. But
I would love that.
I would like for you also to share with my listeners how they can find out more about you, because you do a lot of things and you write, and they can all benefit from those things. So give us a rundown of how we cyber stalk you.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. So you can find me personally, Mikkel Becker, on Facebook and Instagram. And then also, I am the lead animal trainer for fearfreepets.com and for fearfreehappyhomes.com. And fearfreehappyhomes.com, there's just a plethora of free vetted resources for training and enriching your cat's life that I know you and your cat would benefit from. So I would highly encourage investigating that.
So fearfreehappyhomes.com, check her out, check all the stuff that she does. I agreed with every word you said. I can't say that to everybody, but I loved having you here. Thank you for so making this happen, because I know it's a challenge since we're in different time zones.
Oh my goodness. Well, I will jump on a call with you anytime, and so appreciate it. And it's so good catching up with you, my friend. It's been way too long this
I know.
Last time.
COVID ruined all of our fun. So
it did. But,
thank you so much for being here. Thank you to my amazing producer, Mark Winter. I have to shout out to him every time. And my listeners, please continue to send me emails and comment and tell me what you want to hear on this show. Many of my episodes are based on feedback that I get from you. So you're wonderful meowvulous, and I want you all to go out and have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.